nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour today. My name is Lucy Kiden. Now, we are going to discuss government's plan to establish biometrically integrated payroll management systems, which is one of many other critical civil service reforms that are being considered and are in the pipeline. The Ministry of Public Service and Human Plan Development, in collaboration with the Ministry of Finance and Planning, are working together to implement a number of critical service reforms to enhance effectiveness and efficiency in the public service, but also in line with good international practices. Part of the reforms in the pipeline is a modern human resource management information system and with the biometrically integrated payroll management system as well. So joining me to explain all this, they sound like technical terms. Joining me to explain and help us understand these plans in place, guests with me in the studio, we have Honorable Felista Bayer, who is the Undersecretary in Ministry of Public Service. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the show. Yes, Mama.
Yes, good evening. Yes, we are going to launch the human resource management information system, biometrically integrated payroll management system reform.
Okay.
In fact, this
Mama,
is...
Mama, let me just cut you short a bit. Let me introduce the rest of the party in the studio. Mm-hmm. We have Abraham Makur Mangok, who's the DG for Human Resource and Management. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy.
And then we have Timothy Arinaitwe, who's a technical advisor for the project.
Thank you, Lucy, and good evening to your listeners.
Yes, and then we have Lobson Kajawia, who is a communications officer for the project as well. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Lucy Kiden, for this, and yes. Thank you also our viewers and listeners.
Yes, as Honorable Felista had started explaining about the launch, I will now give it over to you to explain what exactly this is about, the reforms that are going to be launched.
You know, we have broader reforms to work on, but we are starting with the launching of the biometric payroll system. In this biometric payroll system, first of all, it will capture all the data for the employees of the Republic of South Sudan. And this will help us a lot in payment of the salaries, because instead of working manually, we'll be working biometric, because all the data will be there. And also, it will take away all the ghost names, because if somebody is not employed by the public service of the Republic of South Sudan, his name or her name will not appear in the biometric payroll system. So in a way, this is really going to be a reform. Secondly, also, the people who are due to retire, their names will also feature there. So we will be able to know when people are going to retire. So instead of keeping everybody in service because of not knowing who are due to retire, this biometric payroll system will help us in identifying those who are due to retire, and so many other issues.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for explaining that. And before we delve really into the advantages and what it will do, could we first understand what is a civil reform? Why is it necessary for a country like South Sudan?
Okay, thank you. I will come in through the request of the Undersecretary.
Yes.
As she has just explained, this is very important as far as our situation is concerned. The Republic of South Sudan has tried to carry out some reforms before, but this reform is going to be very different from the other reforms we have had before. This reform is going to help us establish modern human resource information system that will inform all the human resource management aspect as from the entry to the exit. Now the entry is about recruitment processes. They stay, whereby we'll have all the records and management of the current human resource and the expected newly recruited people into the system. Then now the exit, that is now the pension. As you might be aware, up to now, the Republic of South Sudan have not yet retired any civil servant. And this is one of the reforms that we anticipate as far as this launch of the new system mm-hmm. is concerned.
Yes. Continue.
So the system is going to be a modern one, and it will start by having a headcount mm-hmm. of all the workers of the Republic of South Sudan. And it is going to be done in phases. Phase one is what we are going to launch tomorrow, of which it will cover the national government institution and one pilot state that is going to be Central Equatorial State.
Yes.
When we finish the headcount and we would have established all the data that is required, then we'll now move to the states. When the states is finished, then we again move to the organized forces.
Mm-hmm.
That will include the police forces, the army, and all those other, including the national security.
Okay. All right. Thank you for explaining this. And indeed, I want to know this information, but maybe let me throw this question back to Lobson. Lobson, just briefly, why is there even need for reforms in the first place?
Reforms are very, very important in this country because to improve on the services. You know, apparently the country is actually grappling a lot with the issues, financial issues and other things. So these reforms are very, very important for this country to help move things smoothly, most especially financial systems and also other reforms regarding the payrolls and others. So these reforms are very, very, very important for this country to move forward and also to ease the development and also service delivery of this country. So basically, these reforms are very, very important and highly needed for the people of South Sudan. Thank you.
Yes, you want to add something, Timothy?
Yes, please. Lobson has indicated, the reforms are of great national importance in making sure that the public financial management systems are efficient and effective. The Republic of South Sudan has over the years had several challenges, especially in the PFM area, and that is related basically in the budget formulation.
Just a moment. PFM, not all of us know what that is.
Public financial management, sorry.
Okay.
The public financial management area. There are key challenges that actually were identified as national priorities in the revitalized agreement for resolution of conflict in the government of South, in the Republic of South Sudan. And these key reforms are basically in the budget formulation area, in the budget implementation or budget execution area, the accounting and reporting, as well as oversight or audit of existing systems. So basically, the reforms will help in ensuring transparency and accountability for the public resources, so in the entire PFM cycle that I've just mentioned.
Yes, public finance management. I've learned a new acronym. All right,
I think to add on that.
Yes, go ahead.
As explained by Timothy, this is going to improve our management style.
Yes.
As Republic of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of challenges, and I will talk muchly on the human resource management. The human resource management we are having need a lot of reforms. And as I said, from the recruitment to the exit, this reform, we are targeting it that it change the narrative. The narrative that, like, the human resource, most of the human resource we have, the government inherited it from the Sudan.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are, in one way or another, aged.
Okay.
Yes. And mm-hmm. As I said, there has been no retirement.
Should you be retired already?
I am going to be retired.
You're going to be retired.
Yes.
And this system will set a good precedence for it to happen properly.
For sure.
Okay.
Like, we are going to have that system that will come, that will automatically report to you. Mm-hmm. Lucy, so-and-so is due for retirement
in six months.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
So-and-so is due for increment of pay
mm-hmm.
by this time. So-and-so is due for promotion this time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we anticipate, and that would have been a very big improvement, transformation to the modern human resource information management.
In South Sudan.
In South Sudan. Yeah.
All right, just a moment. If you've just joined us, we're talking about plans by the government of South Sudan to establish different reform systems. And the key one we are looking into today is the biometrically integrated payroll management system, which is incorporated in the human resource management information system that Abraham was just talking about. Abraham is the DG for human resource management. Now, if you have a question, if you have anything to add, please start sending in your text messages on 0912-177-141. There will also be an opportunity for you to call in and ask a question about this. This is a key issue. Payroll has been a very serious issue in South Sudan. Delays of payments, the issue of ghost workers that Honorable Felista just mentioned earlier. And so please ask your questions so they can be answered by our guests in the studio. Now, coming back to our key topic for discussion, we've understood what this modern human resource information system is and what it will look like, what it will help to do, which is inform some of the processes that need to be done financially in terms of payrolls, but also budget, as Timothy mentioned earlier. What else is expected to improve after the successful implementation of this reform? Shall I ask Honorable Felista to come in?
The wage bill is going to reduce. You know, in South Sudan here, the wage bill is really big because of the ghost names. But now, if the biometric payroll system is in place, it will reduce the wage bill because the ghost workers, the names of the ghost workers will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who will be paid will be the ones in the payroll. So the wage bill is going to reduce considerably.
That is a very key one there. Continue.
Also, all the information will be inside. We don't need to work manually. If somebody is due for retirement, it will just appear, and then you have to notify them you are due for retirement. And also, what is there?
Yes, please go ahead. We're looking at some of the improvements that will happen after the implementation.
I think I can come in there.
Yes, do come in.
The service delivery itself
mm-hmm.
will improve. How will it improve? Like I said before, the recruitment, I'll not be there.
Break it down.
Okay, I'm coming there.
Break it down.
Mm-hmm. Nepotism.
Thank you. Continue there.
Nepotism.
Now you're going on the right path.
Yes. All these biases will be out of the system, and our recruitment system would have improved. She said, our payment system will improve. And that is to say, our budgeting system would improve.
What are some of these things about the payment system that will improve? What changes exactly will take
place? By 28th of each month,
mm-hmm.
by the click of just one, the salary is paid.
Just one click?
One click.
For all civil servants?
Yes.
Is this a promise that we can hold you to account?
Yes. Minister of Public Service will do it utmost.
Yeah.
To see into it that payrolls are prepared before the end month, before 28th, they are in the Ministry of Finance. Should any delay happen, then it would be somewhere, not in the Ministry of Public Service.
Okay.
Another improvement will be the training aspect. We'll get to know your performance, and your performance will inform us of what is required of you. Do you need training? Do you need at least rotation to be taken to another unit so that you perform well? And that is it. And
okay.
we would have done at least.
Yes, Lobson, I see you want to add something.
Yes, thank you so much. One of the other benefit of these reforms will be also creation of employment. For instance, once actually people who actually reach retirement age, mm-hmm. once they retire, of course, this will create, you know, vacancies for potential employees to occupy. Because
you mean the young people?
The young people. Especially the youth, to occupy these places. So this is actually the beauty of this system. So once it is actually implemented and reforms are done, the people have reached their retirement ages. Once they leave, then it will create vacancies for the youth to take over these places. So it's also a way that will create employment for the youth of this country.
Okay, thank you very much. My next question is coming to you, Timothy. You know, when you're moving house, when you're moving things around the house and causing changes, there are things that will go out and others that will come in. So what are some of those things? What will it mean for the ministry when these changes happen? What is going to, how is it going to affect the ministry? It can be positive and also negative.
Thank you, Lucy. The impact of this reform actually will not affect only the ministry, but the entire civil service workforce in their various entities, government entities. And that is why we are organizing this change management workshop, because we realize change management is key in the successful implementation of such reforms. So the reform, of course, comes with changes in the way of doing things, in the processes, in the government processes. And the stakeholders, the people within these government institutions that are going to be affected by the system, need to understand how it is going to impact their jobs and what are the benefits. And some of these changes will be related to now automating the systems and the processes that they are currently undertaking in these institutions. But how do we bring this, how do we impose this on them? It is through an incremental approach, walking this journey with them and then explaining the benefits and listening to their feedback and grievances, if any, so that we can address them as we properly manage this system implementation. So it will definitely have an impact on the entire government civil service landscape.
And it really sounds like it might take a while, but before I ask you how long it's going to take and when you're starting, I want to address the issue of employment. Lobson, you just mentioned that there will be employment creation. But earlier on, Honorable Philister, you did mention that some of the work has been done manually. Now, when you bring the system in, that means there will be work that is taken away from the people's hands, and it will be automated. It will be done by the machines. So what happens in that case? How will those jobs be covered? What will happen to those positions? On Abraham, okay. Or Honorable Finister, you're laughing.
Honorable Kevin.
Yes.
You know, I get your point, because when there are so many people doing the work that is labor intensive, they get the money. But now when we go digital, then the workload is going to be reduced. It will require few people to do the work. But in fact, what we had meant before when we said it will provide job creation is that the most of the bulk of the civil service of Republic of South Sudan are aged people. The old people number more than the young people. So when they are phased out through retirement, then it will create positions for the young generation to come. But also you said the digitalization will displace labor of their jobs. But I think we'll try to do something about that, maybe create more job opportunities for those who have been displaced by technology.
That's an Lucy. Interesting way to put it. Go ahead,
Lucy. You see, like the position of the Honorable Undersecretary will not be scrapped up.
Okay.
She will only go digital, mm-hmm. and she will have less paperwork. And this paperwork, as I said, all she will be doing is like, if, for example, it is the recruitment, the system will help in those processes of the recruitment. Now she will have no influence. Even if she wants at least her son in the job, and the system does not allow that, then she will have no otherwise.
Well, he will have no option but to apply.
To apply.
Like everybody else.
Like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Not to say the son of Honorable Pilista Baya, the Undersecretary of the Minister of Public Service. He will come as a South Sudanese who is qualified in that field. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the best of this system.
Yes.
It will not cause negative impact, but positive impact.
I do understand that the positive outweighs the negative, but it's still good to look into those nitty-gritty details in order to know how to find solutions to them. Now, let's talk about the time frame. It looks like there's a lot of work that needs to get into this, a lot of work. So, you're starting with a launch of this workshop tomorrow. How long will it take before this project actually becomes activated? What is the plan in place in terms of time?
First of all, we have an implementation strategy that has been drafted and is yet to be approved. So within that strategy, we have timelines for each of the project activities. Tomorrow, yes, we have the launch of the system. And basically, this will give us, you know, a head start to implementing some of the activities that are in the strategy. We envisage a period of 5 years to be able to implement and roll out this system within the national government, county, state, and county. But like DG had mentioned before, the Director General, we are implementing this in phases, and we are going to start with piloting in the central government institutions, which are 5, and then we move on to the rest of the central government institutions, and that is within a period up to 2026, the end of 2026 financial year. Then from there we move on to the state. We roll out to the state, and then the counties. That is the plan that we have.
Okay.
Before we start implementation, that is the system. I don't know. I might sound too technical, but
just talk to us.
Before we start now, the real configurations.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
We have to first clean up the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next 2-3 months, we are going to embark on that activity of not only undertaking the headcount and cleansing the payroll, but also registering the civil servants onto the biometrics. So this we plan so that by the time we implement or we start rolling out the system, we have a centralized database, centralized payroll data.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
For the entire civil service workforce in one database, so that we can be able to migrate that to the system.
All right.
Yeah. In addition to that,
yes,
I think this reform is warranted by the peace agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all aware that the transition ends in December if elections take place. So this is one of the activity of the peace agreement. And we are also racing with the time that we have to, by the end of this year, that is 2024, we have result to be shown. And as explained by Timothy, as soon as we launch the system tomorrow, we are going to embark on activity by activity. And the strategy is there and is guiding us towards the end of the transition. So the registration, the headcount will be done, and we anticipate that in the next 3 months the piloting would have finished, and now we go now to the roll out.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shortly before we go for a break, I want either Timothy or Lobson, let us see what the future will look like. Just walk me through the whole biometric process. It's a technical word, so walk me through it. What will it mean for a civil servant to be in the system? What is exactly going to happen, and how will they be able to access, you know, how will you be able to access the data and all that? How will the future look like?
Biometrics has several advantages. Okay, one, besides having a verified list or data base of bona fide civil servants, it can also be used in a way of tracking attendance. Okay, but we realize with the government of South Sudan, attendance tracking is an activity that the government is not ready for, and it would
and
be actually
that?
Expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a lot of resources to install this biometric equipment within all government institutions. So that's why we are starting with the basics, and the World Bank Public Financial Management and Institutional Strengthening Project is focused on getting the basics right, you know, and avoiding advanced reforms from the start. So we are going to utilize these biometrics just to clean up our payroll and make sure that we can verify each and every employee using the biometrics.
So what are the biometrics?
Biometrics is a way of identification of key unique features of a person.
Mm-hmm.
in form of finger. You know, fingerprint, those who have used the airport, I think you've come across a scanner where you put your fingers and it scans and your details or your personal information.
Biodata.
Yes.
Educational background.
Yes.
Work experience.
Yes, yes.
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 So all that.
What other forms of biometrics?
So we will also have photos. We will take photos for the civil servants. and they will also be embedded within the biometric database.
Okay.
So that once you put in, you scan your finger, your photo also shows up. And the last thing is we will have IDs that are printed as a result of these biometrics. So we'll have digitally generated IDs, so each and every civil servant will have a unique employee identification number that is generated from the biometrics, and this ID will be printed and given to them.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll be back shortly. We're going for a very short break. And after that break, I will have an opportunity to ask some of your questions that have already been coming in through the SMS line. But also, you will have the opportunity to call in and ask a question. And we shall look at some of the other things that we need to understand in terms of security, digital security, for all that personal information that is going to be in that database. And also, we will try to understand what exactly is going to take place in the workshop that is scheduled for tomorrow, as well as what are some of those other reforms that are in the pipeline as we start with this particular one. If you've just joined us, we are trying to understand some of government's plans to establish biometrically integrated payroll management systems, which is just one of many reforms that are taking place, warranted by the peace agreement. This project is actually supported by the World Bank. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
You're listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
South Sudan, where all boys and girls go to school, where we are protected from rape, early marriage, and all forms of violence. We want good hospital where our mothers deliver safely. We want to live and grow up healthy and happy. We, the children of South Sudan, want to be safe no matter where we are.
Land of freedom, full of all the fruits, my homeland.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome back. This is Nationwide Discussion Hour. If you've just joined us, you are very welcome. We are discussing some of the plans by government to establish biometrically integrated payroll management system, human resource management information system as well. And there are very many other reforms that are taking place, but today that is our main focus. Now, in the studio, we have some guests. We have Honorable Felista Baya, who is the Undersecretary at the Ministry of Public Service. Abraham Makur Mangok is the DG Human Resource and Management at the Ministry of Public Service. And then we have Timothy Arinaitwe, who's Technical Advisor of the project, and Lobson Kajawia is the Communications Officer. Now, we've had a deep discussion on understanding exactly what this means for the country, for the general civil service. And some of the highlights I put down is that this project, these reforms are definitely going to simplify the work in the offices of the Ministry of Public Service. It will save time, and then it's going to help with the it's going to be a good solution for the issue of ghost names in the civil service. And then also it will set a precedence for people who are retiring. There will be a way to know who is to retire, who is yet to retire, who needs promotion. Some of that was mentioned. Who needs, according to performance, it will also monitor performance. So some people who may need to do refresher courses or be trained on certain things get to be identified. But also it will help in the recruitment process and take away some of the vices that when recruitment is done by, especially the start of the recruitment process, if it's done by humans, things like nepotism, biases, all that will be scrapped away and everything will be entirely on qualification basis and competence, as well as it will be many people vying for these particular positions. Wage bill will be reduced, as the number will also reduce. There will be no need to work manually. That means it will save a lot of paper in South Sudan. The trees should be shaking and making noises right now because they will be very, very happy that paper is being reduced, the use of paper, yeah? And also there will be space in the offices, because I've been to some of the government offices and there's always suitcases with a lot of files and papers. So, yeah, there'll be a serious cleanup that will happen. And the lifespan of this project is looking towards 5 years. That is if all conditions are constant. And so now let's try and look at the issue of security. Such a system will have a lot of personal data, personal information, which should not be accessed by non-authorized personnel. But in the digital age, we know that there are hackers, and sometimes people are, there's what we call phishing and social engineering. So some employees may fall victim to such things and share such data or compromise the system. What are your plans to ensure safety for this data?
Thank you, Lucy. Indeed, yes, security is a key aspect in digitalization. And it is important, as part of the project, to have it meticulously considered. And one of the ways is to ensure that we have security at all levels of the system. And by this, I mean at the application level, where the computer, now the user has the computer in front of them and has to log in, you know. So we'll have at that level security policies in terms of password management, okay?
Yes.
We'll also need to have sensitizations, security sensitizations to the users in that regard, to educate them on how to protect their passwords. On the configuration side of the system, we'll have access controls, which will, you know, give access to you know, for instance, if DG's role is to approve, this access control will be role-based and only focused on the role that the DG is undertaking. So the DG will not be able to undertake a role that is not theirs. So we'll have those access security controls on the application level.
Okay.
Then we have security also on the database level, which is system administration related. And then the third level of security will be now on the network infrastructure. This system is planned to be web-based. By that I mean that you will be anywhere as long as you have access to the internet and be able to log in and transact or execute a task. So, like you say, that is where attacks are most likely to happen in terms of hacking. So we'll also have network security considered in terms of firewalls, what we call firewalls that will protect the network infrastructure for the system.
Okay. I'm coming to you shortly, Abraham, but let me conclude with you, Timothy, yes. Finally. There's the bit about with the information system you talked about, internet. Is the infrastructure present to support the weight of this project in terms of digital access?
Yes, thank you. That is a very good question. One of the readiness activities actually that we are undertaking under the project is a site readiness or ICT infrastructure review or assessment within the government institutions. And right now we are focusing on the central our government institutions, and we are trying to identify the existing infrastructure, and also so that we may be able to plan on whether to upgrade or even procure, because the World Bank, under the Public Financial Management Institutional Strengthening Project, plans on procuring ICT equipment or infrastructure for the government entities that do not have.
Okay.
So, on the second phase, then we will now assess the ICT infrastructure in the states. Okay.
And so we start with the central.
We'll start. It will be phased. We'll start with the central and then move on to
the states.
Yes, to the states.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Timothy. Now, Abraham, there are some questions here that I would like you to answer that's coming in from the public. This is Gatwech Mayel Koryom in Amadi. He says the issue of putting all civil servants in biometric system is good. It will reduce the multiple payroll. But we need the paying system to also be made in the bank so that it reduces the ghost names as well. So, is there going to be a link to the bank? This is what Gatwech Mayel is saying. Will people have to open bank accounts so that everything is paid to the bank? Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Gatwech. His concern has been addressed. If you work at the national level, then already the Ministry of Public Service and Human Resource Development gave out a circular, and the timeline was August. Everybody should have a bank account.
August of this year?
August of last year.
Of last year.
Yes.
Okay.
If you do not have a bank account, then we consider you to be a ghost employee.
Okay.
Yes. And in the presentation tomorrow, MTN is going to have a slot.
Mm-hmm.
That is Momo.
Yes.
To showcase those at the remote areas. How are they going to help them at least access banking services? Because we'll not allow you to receive physically,
cash.
To receive cash.
Okay.
We'll only wire your money to the account.
Okay. And for this case, Momo is mobile money.
Yes.
Yes.
Mobile money.
Okay.
So it has been considered.
Okay.
And that is what we are driving at.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, Honorable Philister, this one is coming to you. This is Bona Thiek, a court Lual from Kojok. He says, by establishing this biometric system, definitely corruption will stop. Payroll system will be accurate and fair. But my doubt is whether you are sure that this will be implemented, because budget can be a huge hinderer. So, where I'm getting is the budget enough for this project? And will it be, you know, sustainable? Will it be well managed to ensure that everything is done within that budget?
Well, in fact, it is not the government financing this. It mm-hmm. is the World Bank financing it for us.
But the government is going to manage an account for it.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But the payroll system, biometric, is going to be purchased to us by the World Bank.
Yes.
And they are going to help us in the implementation. And the period is for 5 years. I hope we'll be able to have the money for that. Because since it is the World Bank financing it, they will not let us down.
Okay.
At least in the next 5 years, they will be with us.
All right. Mm. I'm reading the text.
I think I will add on to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, let me give you the next question. This one here is coming from, you have not written your name, but it's a very good question. How sure are you that biometric administrators are not going to be corrupt? Because at the end of the day, the system is going to be managed by human beings. Over to you, Abraham.
Control is key. Accountability is key. So we believe 100% there will be no human interference. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so that brings us to the end of the questions, which all came through the SMS line. And yes, this is the last one actually coming to coming to you again, Madam Philister. Mm-hmm. This is Chirinyo Ayol Madut Interale. He says, is it this biometric process trying to set this system, is it the one delaying servants' payment of salaries? Yes.
In fact, it isn't the one. The delay of the payment of salaries has been there for a very long time. On the contrary, this biometric payroll system, I think it will correct in the delay of the salaries.
Okay. Mm. All right. Thank you very much. Now, as we conclude, briefly, Abraham, you could tell us about the workshop tomorrow, what it will entail, who is going to be present, if you can summarize that in just a minute.
Okay. Thank you. Tomorrow, we have invited all the national ministers and undersecretaries, heads of commissions, and their executive directors. We anticipate participants to be around 200, and all the media houses have been invited officially. What will happen is we are going to present and it is going to be officiated by the vice president of the service cluster. What will happen is we'll have the overview of the planned civil service reforms and their implication. We'll also look at the purpose, scope, and implementation arrangements. And then we will have a presentation or demonstration of the human resource information system itself.
Mm-hmm.
It will be shown how it will work. And then we will have the purpose, approach, and process, that is methodology and implementation strategy.
Yes.
So this is what we are going to look at tomorrow.
Thank you very much. 15 seconds.
Yeah. thank you so much, Lucy. Maybe to add on is the location of the venue. The venue is actually at Radisson Hotel, Blue Hotel in Juba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tomorrow. It will begin at 8:30 to 3:30 p.m.
However, it's for the invited.
For those who are invited.
Okay.
And of course, also, Mirai FM is also one of the media houses invited.
I will definitely come.
Thank you so much.
Many more other questions to ask. But right now, our time is spent, and I would just like to thank all of you for coming and sharing this very important information with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of the discussion hour today. My name is Lucy Kiden, and as we continue, we'll have the news in English at the top of the hour, and then my colleague David Lucan will be coming in with the news hour after the news at the top of the hour. So stay tuned. Don't go away. Bye-bye.